Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Speaking of knuckleheads, this guy's a knucklehead here. Well, we can all be knuckleheads at times, that's for sure. But yeah, I just heard that Fox News update where President Trump was referred to. I forget, who is he calling a knucklehead? But anyway, you can add this knucklehead into the mix here. I saw this headline here just a few minutes ago. And let me just read the, it's a Billings Gazette headline. Let me just read it for you here. We're all immigrants. Roughly 50 people become American citizens in Billings ceremony. First off, congratulations to the 50 people who have now become proud American citizens and did it the right way, did it the legal way. But anyway, this liberal judge, Judge Timothy Cavan, I remember back in 2019, this far-left activist magistrate federal judge, another one of these left-wing wackos put on the bench by the Democrats, he ruled against a mine here in Montana, ruled against I believe it was a coal mine here. Yeah, it was the Spring Creek mine near Decker, largest coal mine in Montana, 10th largest in the U.S., and this guy ruled against the mine and says that the United States must reconsider the climate impacts. Must reconsider. So there you go, hence knucklehead. But let's go back to the headline in the news this morning here. I think this story was just posted here about 11 minutes ago or so. We're all immigrants. No, we aren't. We are not all immigrants. We're all citizens. Well, most of us anyway, aside from the illegal aliens that invaded this state thanks to liberal Democrats, like the very same Senate Democrats that put this Judge Cavan on the bench. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because I almost thought the same thing for a second as well. Well, I know what he was trying to say here. What he's trying to say is that we are a nation of immigrants. Like so many of us are here as citizens now because we are the descendants of immigrants. The judge knew exactly what he was saying here. He wasn't trying to say something. He was being very deliberate here. He's abusing what is an incredible ceremony here, a naturalization ceremony for people to become citizens of the United States of America, many of whom have oftentimes fled communism and Marxism and socialism, the very thing that Democrats are trying to bring to New York City right now. They have fled, and that's why they want to become American citizens. And so he abused this citizenship ceremony to basically put out his little pro-illegal immigration agenda. We're all immigrants. No, we're not. We're all citizens. We are all citizens. And that matters, which is why the very naturalization, the very citizenship ceremony that you were presiding over matters and is so important. Anyway, rant over on that one. Hey, we got some really great news that developed overnight. $9 billion rescissions package, a cut to federal spending. That just passed the United States Senate. We'll talk about that more right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. There is a fog possible around the region early on today. Otherwise, we're looking at sunny skies with high temperature readings ranging from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, overnight lows will stay in the lower 50s in Bozeman and near 60 in Billings. And the outlook for Friday does call for sunshine with highs back into the mid and upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A first in the country, a village for police training that allows law enforcement to experience real-life type of scenarios. It's in Nassau County on Long Island in New York. It includes many places you'd find in a town. A bank, a church, a synagogue, houses, a train station, stores, and more. Nassau County Police Commissioner Pat Ryder.
We want to put them in their real-life setting as real as you can get. Because the first time you do it should not be the first time you do it. You should have have done it in Trenton.
Attorney General Pam Bondi was there for the recent ribbon-cutting ceremony, saying the facility will save police lives and that...
There's no secret that recruitment and retention are tough now for law enforcement officers. It's a challenge we face because of the anti-police rhetoric, no more under Donald Trump, by the way, the attacks on our police officers we will not stand for any longer.
I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Yeah, so this is a $9 billion cut to federal spending. This is the rescissions package. Yet after the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill, we talked about, all right, now, and many people were saying, look, we wish the One Big Beautiful Bill would have cut even more federal spending. Well, that's where the rescission package comes in. A rescissions package is a way that they can basically take federal government spending that was already approved and cut it after the fact, which is so important because you look at all the massive overspending that was done in the last 4+ years by the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. And so it's so important that that spending gets peeled back. So this is the first rescissions package. They've got 45 days to get the job done. The House initially passed the rescissions package like 40-something days ago. So the Senate needed to act so they can pass it back over to the House by this Friday. So that's where it's at right now. Let me play the Fox News radio update because this story, yeah, they were voting late into the evening / morning.
It's the first time a rescissions package has passed in over a quarter century. You have to go back to the Clinton administration for the last time. Now, this $9.4 billion bill claws back unspent federal funds focused heavily on foreign aid and public broadcasting, including NPR. It passed the Senate largely on a party line vote. Every Democrat voted against it except one who is ill and had to go to the hospital. Mitch McConnell was a yes after voting against it in the first two procedural rounds. There were two Republican no votes, Senators Collins and Murkowski from Maine and Alaska, respectively.
Murkowski doesn't even have an excuse. My goodness, she just needs to be out of there. But anyway, yeah, but the Senate did pass that rescissions cut, so that'll peel back $9 billion in spending. That'll kick over to the House. They've got to get that job finalized by Friday. But yeah, big chunk of that $9 billion. And remember, we're $37 trillion in debt. So we have got a lot more cutting that needs to be done. But this is the CEO of PBS. The CEO of PBS, she's just absolutely confounded at the fact that, well, why would they cut our taxpayer funding? Why do they think we're biased? And here's my point, is whether PBS, whether NPR, whether they are biased or not, why do they get to force their hand into our pockets and take our money to support their radio broadcast, to support their TV broadcast? Why? I don't get to go out there and take money out of everybody's pockets. Here, give me your money. You've got to support my radio broadcast this morning. There's people that choose to because they, you know, they want to advertise and they want you folks to hear their message so that you support their business. And now many of them also support, you know, and agree with our principles and support shows like this as a result. But many of them, they may disagree with what I say. They may disagree with what we talk about, but they still advertise on shows like this because they want to reach you. They want you to know about their business, right? And so even if NPR, even if PBS was not biased, that doesn't mean they have a right to federal taxpayer dollars to prop up their organizations. But anyway, listen to what the CEO of PBS had to say. This was on shared by Rapid Response 47 on X.
I asked them for examples. People often struggle to come up with examples of what really they're talking about. So we're always interested, obviously, in making sure that we're serving a multiplicity of viewpoints. You know, Bill Buckley made his home on public broadcasting with the series called Firing Line, which continues today with Margaret Hoover. We are interested in having different perspectives that we bring forward. But when I look at the range of our programmings on public broadcasting, I can't make any sense of an argument that we are somehow biased in any way.
Right. And that's where Rapid Response 47 comes in. Back in 2020, well, no, that's another one. Hold on one second here. Back in 2022, NPR scrapped its decades-long Independence Day tradition of reading the Declaration of Independence on air to instead discuss equality. Here's another one. NPR issued an editor's note warning that the Declaration of Independence is, quote, a document that contains offensive language. Oh, man, there's much more, though. There is much more. Where did I go? I was sharing so much information on X here this morning. Oh, man. I know what that one's printed up in my stack of stuff here. But Senator John Kennedy, that great senator out of Louisiana, he's a character, isn't he? He did an entire floor speech where he documented and outlined the bias that comes from the so-called public broadcasters. Let me see if I can cue up just a part of that for you here. Yeah, here's just the start. They even labeled country music. They even went after country music as, what do they call it, racist?
I want to give you a few examples of stories that NPR has published using taxpayer money. I'll just read the headlines. First headline, NPR News Service. Michael Avenatti, quote, a profile of the media savvy attorney. They love Michael Avenatti. You know where Michael Avenatti is today? He's in jail. You know why? He's a crook. But for a while, he was a media darling on NPR. Here's another headline from NPR. How racism became a marketing tool for country music.
All right, we'll pause it right there and get to the not racist Farm and Ranch report.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The one big beautiful bill is law. Congressional Republicans and the Trump administration stuffed every possible legislative initiative imaginable into the measure. Now Republicans must figure out what to tackle during the remaining 18 months in the 119th Congress. But after approving the hallmark of President Trump's legislative agenda, frankly, there's not a lot of other big items rolling down the parliamentary pike. Without question, the biggest challenge facing Congress this fall and next fall is funding the government and avoiding a shutdown. Congress managed to avoid a shutdown in March simply by renewing all existing funding at the levels dictated by the democratically controlled Congress last year and signed off by former President Biden. The only reason they avoided a shutdown was because Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer decided a shutdown was a worse option. Democrats railed against Schumer for essentially helping bail out Republicans and getting nothing in return. Some have called on Schumer to step aside. Schumer can possibly go to that well only once. One wonders what Schumer could possibly extract from Republicans and President Trump, who lack the votes to fund the government themselves. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
I thought, what the heck? Let's throw this story in there. It was a story from Cowboy State Daily talking about a new thermal feature, a baby blue thermal feature in Yellowstone National Park. What the heck? Let's throw it in on this show. If anything, it gives me an excuse to play a George Strait song on the radio. Hey, you never know what we're going to talk about on Montana Talks, because this is the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordland. The Trump administration announced it will end USDA's 12 regional food business centers, which were launched in 2023 under the Biden administration to support small and mid-sized farmers and strengthen local food systems. Funded with $360 million from the American Rescue Plan, the centers provided technical assistance and grants, including business builder grants of up to $100,000 for equipment, processing, and marketing, along with storage. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins called the program a COVID-era initiative that was unsustainable due to its reliance on one-time congressional funding. USDA says they will honor existing commitments, which includes 450-plus grants, but terminated centers that have not yet made awards. Critics, including the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, say the decision contradicts the administration's own Farmers First agenda, which claims to support small farmers and rural communities. In other headlines, farmers down in the Midwest are seeing signs of a yield-robbing disease in their corn. Corn stunt spread by corn leafhopper. The pest has recently been detected in Kansas and Missouri, threatening late-planted and double-crop corn. Corn leafhoppers, no larger than a grain of rice, are damaging crops by feeding and transmitting corn stunt spiroplasm and bacterium that can cause up to 100% yield losses. Symptoms like leaf reddening and stunted growth appear 30 to 40 days after infection. Experts are urging weekly scouting through the V8 stage using sticky cards, sweep nets, and visual checks. There's no official threshold, but early planting, insecticidal seed treatments, and foliar sprays before tasseling can help limit damage. Once honeydew or mold appears, it may be too late.
When you add the Farm Bureau member affiliation to your rewards account, you unlock Platinum One equipment discounts, big to small, farm to front yard. As a Farm Bureau member, you're eligible for instant savings on a range of John Deere products, from lawn tractors to skid steers to utility vehicles and more. Plus, save money on home and workshop products at shop.deere.com. John Deere discounts are just one of your Montana Farm Bureau membership benefits. Learn more at mfbf.org/benefits. The U.S. Cattlemen's Association Summer 2025 Cattle Producers Forum and Board Meeting is July 22nd and 23rd in Billings, Montana. Highlights on July 22nd include policy discussions, a ranch tour, and a night with Northern Livestock video auction. And July 23rd, it's a full day of industry updates on important issues like producer profitability, the Packers and Stockyards Act, and most importantly, markets. For more information and to get registered, visit uscattlemen.org.
In an unusually bold move, USDA raised its average annual cash price estimate for soybean oil by 7 cents per pound, or a 15.2% increase in July's WASDE report, driven by surging biofuel demand. With 2025 through 26 use production to rise 26.5% from the prior year. Despite a 590 million pound increase in production, tight supplies are expected due to a sharp cut in exports and a 70 million bushel shift from soybean exports to domestic crush. Imports were also bumped, reflecting strong canola oil demand under favorable trade rules. Markets are now going to watch August weather closely, as a record yield of 52.5 bushels per acre is needed to offset reduced acreage. Technically, soybean oil futures show a bullish setup with a confirmed saucer bottom and room for managed money to increase long positions. Price resistance lies ahead at around 60 to 60 cents per pound. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of liberal federal judges, you know, I open up this show by talking about this liberal, far-left climate activist magistrate judge, Cavan. He's the guy who argued some climate change argument for opposing a coal mine in Montana. What a nutcase. What a nutcase. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just calling it like it is here. Caden's the umpire out at the baseball games, calling balls and strikes. That one is just calling balls and strikes.
nutcase climate alarmist. Apparently, he does actually ride his bike to work, though, sometimes. So at least he's a committed climate alarmist nut job, you know? At least he's not completely a hypocrite. Although, then again, the guy probably doesn't have to drop three kids off at school and go pick up groceries and everything. So you know, the woke white liberal is privileged enough to simply ride a bicycle to work. He's so privileged, such a privileged, entitled little federal magistrate. Anyway, I was talking about that one earlier. This is a crazy story. This is a crazy story. Good. It's right at the top of my stack of stuff here. Are you guys familiar with Cottonwood? Cottonwood. No, I'm talking about. So there was a federal case referred to as Cottonwood, which has helped destroy a lot of trees out in the woods in the process. There's a far left environmental law firm in Bozeman called Cottonwood. And then simultaneously, there is a far left environmentalist judge by the name of Brian Morris. That environmental law firm, Cottonwood, just got savagely hammered by this environmental liberal judge. It's like, wow. I'm really hoping David Noble makes it in today, because I want to get his take on this one. Because how bad do you have to be as an environmental lawyer to get hammered by one of your own buddies, by one of your fellow leftist climate alarmists, one of your fellow radical environmentalists, for Judge Brian Morris to savagely attack you? That's got to be pretty bad. That's got to be pretty bad. Now, somebody else was telling me, like, isn't this guy behind Cottonwood, isn't he also running for mayor of Bozeman again? Yeah, pretty sure I heard that one. But this story doesn't come from the Bozeman Chronicle. It doesn't come from KBZK. It certainly doesn't come from the Montana Free Press or the Daily Montanan, you know, the Democrat dark money funded blog here. This comes from a website called Explore Big Sky. We'll explore that one here in a couple of minutes here. But yeah, the judge basically says Cottonwood persists in pushing a baseless fraud theory that has been debunked multiple times. 3 years after trial, Cottonwood simply changes its theory when the facts fail to support the... This Tomlinson report that we shared earlier about the successful vote in the United States Senate. Again, great job by Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy. You know, if old flip-flop flat top was still in the Senate, we'd be saddled with $9 billion more in spending. So what a difference those 2024 elections made, and what a difference those elections make. Let's go back to John Kennedy, Republican senator from Louisiana. He was talking about all of the bias coming from NPR and PBS. Yeah, NPR, John Kennedy shared this on X. It was a C-SPAN clip of him talking about their bias. They said that country music is racist.
I kid you not. The American taxpayers are spending $500 million a year to pay a local station to buy content that says country music is racist. Here's another headline from NPR. Donald Trump's long embrace of Vladimir Putin. Remember the Russiagate, the Steele dossier? NPR was right in there promoting it. Couple more headlines that NPR is putting out there using your tax dollars. This headline, monuments and teams have changed names. Let me say it again. Monuments and teams, presumably sports teams, had changed names as America reckons with racism. Birds are next. I don't know any birds that are racist. Here's another headline. Eating less beef is a climate solution. Eating less beef is a climate solution. I don't have anything against vegetarians. I'm a semi-vegetarian myself. I eat beef, and beef and cows eat grass. So that makes me a semi-vegetarian. But that's my choice. Not on NPR. Eating less beef is a climate solution. Here's why that's hard for some American men. Here's a final headline. I could go on the rest of the evening. How the Taliban adds to Afghanistan's woes when it comes to climate-fueled disasters. Boy, I can tell you, that's on the mind of every person in Afghanistan today, is climate change.
Oh, man. Senator John Kennedy, that guy's great. He shared about three other clips about 4 minutes in length where he continues to go on and... I mean, we could go on. We could play them all. We could listen to that guy all morning. But we got a lot of other stuff to get to here as well. Plus, we want to take your phone calls if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. Yeah, there you go, cattle ranchers. NPR forces you to give them your money to attack your industry. No longer, thanks to the Republicans.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Okay, I want to get to this Cottonwood story here in just a second. That can be kind of a scene setter here before the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But first, let's go back to what Senator John Kennedy had to say about NPR's CEO claiming on CNN that nobody can show her how they are biased. Nobody can show NPR how they are biased. We already played the audio as he talked about NPR describing country music as racist, promoting American people to stop eating beef. Of course, they were all in on the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. Here's more. NPR claimed President Biden's presidential debate performance did not change the election. Days before he dropped out of the race, Senator John Kennedy says, if you believe that headline, you believe in the tooth fairy. But that's what NPR reported with your tax dollars. NPR reported, Senator Kennedy adds, that there is no evidence that biological men have an unfair advantage over biological women in sports. NPR also called America's interstate highways racist. Senator Kennedy says, I didn't know our highways were racist. I thought they were concrete, but not according to NPR. NPR referred to rural Americans as Christian nationalists and heaped praise on Biden administration official Rachel Levine. Now, you guys remember who Rachel Levine is, right? Rachel Levine is the dude who dressed up like a female, wore the admiral's outfit, you know. Anyway... there's more here. Rapid Response 47 it used some other example. PBS staff used 162 variations of far-right labels and only six far-left labels, an astounding ratio of 27 to 1, according to Newsbusters. One study found that on so-called gender ideology stories, PBS NewsHour dedicated 90% plus of the airtime to leftist views. There was nothing independent about PBS. And again, this is coming from Rapid Response 47. Then PBS White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor characterized President Trump's patriotic 2020 Mount Rushmore speech as a love letter to white resentment that promoted, quote, the myth of America. PBS produced an entire movie celebrating a transgender teenager's so-called changing gender identity called Real Boy. Was that the Shrek movie? I'm a real boy now. PBS devoted an entire panel to what it means to be woke and white privilege. In 2021, a PBS station aired a children's program that featured a drag queen named Little Miss Hot Mess. PBS is a freaking hot mess when it comes to the bias towards the left. But here's the thing. See, you're going to see this. You're already seeing it. They're going to claim, oh, they're attacking us because of what we report. They're attacking us because of what we say. Okay, look, here's the deal. The fact is that it doesn't matter what you report. It doesn't matter how biased you are or not. The federal government should not be forcing taxpayers to fund your product. I think I saw, what was it? Was it KTVQ? I think KTVQ Television has a story here. And of course, I haven't organized my stack of stuff yet. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay. Oh, nope, that's the other one. Let's see, that one's out of KRTV. That's a good story. We're going to talk with Sheriff Slaughter about that one later today. KTVQ has a story here. I'm going to go off of memory as I keep searching my stack of stuff here. Yellowstone Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio has done a pretty good job over the years, right? Got a great gal running the show there now. Jackie Yamanaka was always a pro, and she was at Yellowstone Public Radio. But remember back in the day when people would complain, oh, public radio gets all of our taxpayer dollars. Oh, public TV gets all of our taxpayer dollars. Remember back in the day, and by back in the day, I'm talking like 20 years ago, not even that long ago. You would hear PBS folks and public radio folks say, oh, well, it's not that big. We don't get a lot of money from the federal government. It's really not that big of a deal. So, hey, folks, stop complaining about the taxpayer dollars that we get. And now that cutting that funding is included in the $9 billion rescissions package, now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, we're going to shut down, or you're going to kill us if you don't keep our federal funding flowing, right? It's like, oh, I thought you guys were the ones that told us that it's not a big part of your budget. But I think KTVQ Television, I think they reported that Yellowstone Public Radio gets about $270,000 from federal taxpayers. Now, to us, that's a lot of money. To you and me, that's a lot of money, right? $270,000. Hey, that's a lot of money. But I'll guarantee you, for somebody like Yellowstone Public Radio, they have got a liberal trial lawyer in Billings, Montana, that can cut that $270,000 check tomorrow. And it won't even hurt. They won't even feel it. They might have some secretary cut the check where the trial lawyer himself doesn't even need to cut the check because he's so awash in cash that he doesn't even need to worry about cutting a $270,000 check. But for the American people, we're $37 trillion in debt. And you're, you know, pinching pennies here to make things work after the Joe Biden, John Tester fueled inflation in particular. So anyway, where did I put that story? I thought I printed it up. It's probably at the bottom of the stack here. Or I didn't get to that one on the printer yet. All right, anyway. That same KTVQ story, they had an update where they did kind of like, hey, here's the morning news update. The other update they had in there is that Yellowstone County Republicans have now selected three names. I think they had close to a dozen people that put their name in the hat to be a Yellowstone County commissioner. Of course, they're looking forward, they have to try to find a replacement for the late, great Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund, who passed away in that plane crash here recently, tragically. But anyway, they've now selected the three names. Let me go to their website here. I see our friend Charlie Loveridge there, front and center. Charlie's a great guy, of course. He's front and center. He was one of the three names selected by the Republican Central Committee. Let's see, the two other names. I see Kirk Bushman, former public service commissioner. He's a good guy as well. I see him in there. And then a third name. Why am I not pulling it up here? A third name. I'm not seeing it here in the story, but I don't want to say his name wrong, but I've heard he's a good guy as well. He runs an Albertsons store in Billings, Why am I not seeing his name here? All right, whatever. Okay, here we go. Man, I'm spent half the morning trying to track down some Kathy Hochul audio talking about the Kami Mamdani, and then thought I printed up this story, and now I can't even find it. Of course, it's probably right in front of me, as happens all the time here. Let's see. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Speaking of Senator John Kennedy, he had some choice words for the people attacking our ICE agents, for the people attacking our great men and women serving as federal law enforcement officers. He says, well, I won't say it because maybe I'll have it queued up in the right spot for you here, but the dailycaller.com featured this story as Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana talks about, you know, the far-left activists attacking ICE agents.
They're breaking the law. And what you allow is what will continue. If you put hands on an ICE officer, you should be prosecuted, you should be sent to jail, and you should get to spend some quality time with Bubba. Until we start doing that and prosecuting these folks, it will continue. The people who believe in open borders, they're trading panic attacks, but they shouldn't be surprised. Illegal immigration is illegal, duh. President Trump ran on a platform of enforcing the law, and that's what he is doing. And if you obstruct that, you should have two choices, either change the law or go to jail. And until we start putting these folks into jail, it's going to continue.
Okay, just over the past 4 or 5 days, take us.
All right, he also said this. He said those who attack ICE agents should, quote, spend some quality time with Bubba. And he's not talking about Bill Clinton, by the way. All right. Quick break. Lots to talk about here this morning. Trying to pack too many things in here, but I always forget we got 4 hours. But as you know, the 4 hours, man, before you know it, we're out of time.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And what is Mamdani doing? He's meeting in private with, supposedly with New York businessmen. He's not meeting with New York businessmen because they decided not to show up. They don't want anything to do with him. In other words, he has this two-day meeting with so-called business leaders. The vast majority of them didn't bother to show up. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan, he didn't show up. Steve Schwarzman of Blackstone, he didn't show up. Ryan Moynihan of the Bank of America, the nation's second largest bank, he didn't show up. Larry Fink of BlackRock, he didn't show up. David Solomon of Goldman Sachs, he didn't show up. Oh, scheduling conflicts.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, there is a fog possible around the region early on today. Otherwise, we're looking at sunny skies with high temperature readings ranging from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, overnight lows will stay in the lower 50s in Bozeman and near 60 in Billings. And the outlook for Friday does call for sunshine with highs back into the mid and upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Hey, we got a BOLO alert. Be on the lookout. Some guy stole a fancy pickup and a really nice-looking RV. Plus, he defrauded a bunch of other people in Billings along the way. So be on the lookout for a specific pickup and this specific RV. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You'll see the video. You can see the guy's picture. You can see a photo of the RV and the pickup to be on the lookout for. By the way, there's a $20,000 reward as well. MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, there we go. There's the article I was looking for. Half my stack of stuff was still sitting on the printer. All right, that'll happen. That'll happen. Okay, let me see what else I might be missing in here. Let's see. Okay, all right, let's jump back into it here. Yeah, I want to go to, hopefully David Noble's going to be with us here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. He typically joins us every Thursday, but, you know, he's got a busy day job, so we always appreciate any time he's with us. But also, I'd love to get his take on this story. Again, how bad do you have to be if you're an environmental left-wing lawyer and then you get completely hammered and called out by an environmental left-wing federal judge? Okay, is it Jack Rainey? Is that how you pronounce his name here? ExploreBigSky.com. Quote, baseless fraud theory. Judge rules against Cottonwood Law in Big Sky Water lawsuit. In a legal saga stretching back to July of 2020, the Big Sky County Water and Sewer District has prevailed once more, this time earning $7,500 in legal recourse and a filing restriction against the Cottonwood Environmental Law Center, whose series of failed lawsuits have cost Big Sky's public water utility roughly $3 million in legal fees in the past 5 years. Cottonwood's allegations of fraud by BSCWSD, quote, fall short, according to a July 10th ruling by U.S. District Judge Brian Morris. The lawsuit alleged that BSCWSD had falsified data since the first trial filed July 2020 when Cottonwood first initiated a Clean Water Act lawsuit for alleged discharge of treated wastewater into Gallatin River tributaries. The April 2022 ruling favored the Big Sky County Water and Sewer District. Cottonwood subsequently challenged the ruling in the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in 2023, again without success. But listen to what far-left environmental activist Judge Brian Morris had to say about far-left environmental activist Cottonwood Environmental Law Center. Quote, Cottonwood persists in pushing a baseless fraud theory that has been debunked multiple times 3 years after trial. Cottonwood simply changes its theory when the facts fail to support the previous theory. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a caveman. I don't know all these crazy lawyer games, but that sounds pretty bad for the environmental outfit there. So there you go. That one's interesting. And by the way, I do see David Noble is in the house. He will be joining us coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. So that's going to be great. Woke updates and more. Hey, let me tell you about a great opportunity for you guys to win a incredible tourism package here in Montana. Man, I'll tell you, well, let me just tell you what you get a chance to win here first. And then we'll get into some good Montana trivia. So this is a Central Montana tourism package. Sip Soak Stay Package with the Edith Hotel in White Sulphur Springs. $100 gift card to Bar 47 in White Sulphur. A one-night stay at the Calvert Hotel in Lewistown. A one-night stay at a B&B in Lewistown. Two tickets to Fort Assiniboine in Havre. One-night stay at the America Inn in Havre. Two general admission tickets to a Great Falls Voyagers baseball game. Two bottles of Jesse's Montana Sada Carne Marinade. You get a gift certificate to a bookstore in Great Falls. You get some trolley tour tickets as well. So that's what you get. That's what you get a chance to win. Now for some trivia. Did you know that Fort Benton, talking about Central Montana, was the first permanent settlement in the Montana Territory?
established in 1846 as a fur trading post. It later became a crucial hub for steamboat travel and commerce along the Missouri River. Yeah, we're highlighting Central Montana this week for the final week of our tourism giveaway. If you want a chance to win that incredible package we just told you about, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. Back right after this, David Noble in the house for the 7 o'clock hour.
Is this how you feed a hamster?
I think so.
Is my homework right?
I think so.
Is this milk still good?
I think so.
When it comes to parenting, sometimes it's okay to think you know. But when it's something as important as your child's car seat, don't just think. Know. Double check if your child is in the right seat for their age and size. It'll help protect them in a car crash. Don't just think. Know by visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.